Scripture reading for this morning is 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Text consists of verses 17 and 18 of 1 Timothy chapter 5. We will first read the chapter. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents. That is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed, and desolate, trusteth in God, and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge, that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she had diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refused. For when they had begun to wax righteous against Christ, they were married, having damnation because they had cast off their first faith. And withal, they learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will, therefore, that younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after seeking. If any man or woman that believeth and widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. But the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture said, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against that elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. And then sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. I charge thee before God, and the Lord Jesus Christ, and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Some men's sins are open before him, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise also the good works of some are manifest before him, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. That's where we read God's holy and inerrant word. We bless the reading of that word to our heart. The text that we consider this morning is verses 17 and 18. God says to the Apostle Paul and Timothy and all of the church, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture said, Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we noted a week ago, the theme of the book of Timothy is good order in the Church of Jesus Christ, evident from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the Church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. This theme of good order in the Church of God continues into 1 Timothy chapter 5, where especially Paul gives instruction to Timothy with regard to the office bearers in the Church of Jesus Christ. And it was necessary that Paul give instruction to Timothy about the work of office bearers in the church, for there were evidently some in the church who were trying to abuse those who were in office. What becomes evident in 1 Timothy chapter 5 is that sadly it was widows, or those who were pretending to be widows, who were trying to abuse the office of the church. 1 Timothy 5 verse 3, honor widows that are widows indeed. So Paul had to give instruction about how to determine regarding who was truly a widow and who was not truly a widow in the church. And Paul gives instruction here saying that those who are widows but who have family members who can take care of them, those widows must first go to their family members for help, not first to the church, Paul instructs. Verse 4, but if any widow has children, or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite, to help their parents. For that is good and acceptable before God. If you are a widow and you have a family who can help, go to the family. But then Paul quickly adds, verse 5, now she that is a widow indeed and desolate, in other words, a widow who does not have children or nephews or nieces, family who can help her, then she or he, as a widower, may go to the church for help. In addition, Paul gives the instruction that the younger widows ought not go to the church for help, first of all, but as they are able, the younger widows ought to marry, lest they wax wanted against Christ. Paul instructs them to go and marry and bear children and guide the house. So it was necessary that the Apostle Paul give instruction to the church with regard to the office bearer's care of widows. So too, beloved, in Linden Protestant Reformed Church, it is necessary that God give us, as office bearers, instruction with regard to the care not only of widows and widowers, but of everyone whom God has called to this particular church. There is a necessity that we be called to good order, beloved, because we are by nature, even as office bearers, sinners. We are prone to hate God and the neighbor. So we as office bearers need urgent and frequent reminders from God himself to love. Love God and love the neighbor. Beloved, we also note this morning that it is important to remember why God does have office bearers in the church. That is so that there might be blessedness and unity in the church. When things in the church are done haphazardly, without, according to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40, good order and decency, then the very foundations of the church begin to crumble. If the office bearers in the church do not do things according to the principles of God's word, then beloved, who will abide by God's word? So it is absolutely necessary for the peace and unity of the church that the elders rule well in the church. And in the way of the elders ruling well in the church, then, beloved, we can more clearly see Jesus Christ in the preaching of the gospel. God says in this text, then, let those elders who rule well in the church be worthy, be counted worthy of double honor. Let's consider this text this morning under that theme, elders worthy of honor. Let us notice first who the faithful elder is. Second, we'll notice the honor given to him. And third, the reason for that honor given to him. In this text, the Apostle Paul calls attention to two different types of elders in the church. There is, first of all, the elders that rule. Verse 17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. But then at the end comes the second type of elder, and that is those who labor in the word and doctrine, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. So we look, first of all, this morning at that especially clause. That especially clause calls attention to the ministers of the gospel. The minister of the gospel is a man, not a woman, who is called by God himself through the church to the official office of the ministry. This is the New Testament replacement for the Old Testament prophet, who himself had received direct revelation from God to go out there and bring that word of God to the people. In the New Testament, God no longer gives direct revelation to his people, but God does call some to the office of minister. The first duty of the minister, beloved, is to labor in the word, especially they who labor in the word. The word that is translated here as labor means especially toil. That's what God is saying here. The minister of the gospel is to toil in the word, to expend himself for the word, because of the proclamation of the gospel. The same word is used in Luke 5, verse 5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And here in Luke 5, verse 5, we get a picture of what it is like for the minister as he is called to toil in the word. He has labored all night, he has cast his net all night long and has caught nothing. And in the morning, as the sun comes up in the eastern sky, he is exhausted, and then Jesus Christ comes to him and says, cast your net on the other side. Toil, labor, expend yourself for the cause of the proclamation of the gospel. Labor, not just in the word, but in the word, in God's word. Not choosing hobbies for yourself to expend your efforts on. Not keeping time for yourself, but giving yourself to the word. To be in the word means even physically to be by the word. The minister has to open up his Bible. He has to understand that Bible as he reads the words of God in that Holy Scripture. But not only physically must he be in the word, but also, beloved, spiritually, the minister must labor, toil in the word. He must be shaped by that word. As he lives in that word, he starts to resemble he who is spoken of in that word, Jesus Christ himself. To be in the word means, beloved, that the minister lives a life that is in accord with that word. To be in the word, beloved, is, might be illustrated this way, the opposite of being in trouble. A child is in trouble means that that child has behaved in a troublous way and subsequently is bearing the punishment for his wrong behavior. He's in trouble. Minister is not to be in trouble, but he is to be in the Word. In addition, the calling of the minister in this text is not only to be in the Word, but also, beloved, to teach. To teach. That comes out in the very last word of verse 17. Especially they who labor in the Word and doctrine. The word translated here as doctrine means literally to teach, or teaching itself. That's what the minister does, but in order to teach, beloved, there must be two things. First, the minister must understand the word. You cannot teach about something if you do not understand that word. So it is the calling of the minister, and we expect it of our minister to understand God's word. Not perfectly, for he himself is not divine, but to the best of his ability, it is the duty of the minister to understand that word. Then as the minister comes to understand that word, the other part of teaching is to explain that word, being apt to teach. He can take that which he understands and then present it in such a way so that when the congregation gathers together on Sunday, they are edified, built up by the proclamation of the gospel. That is the faithful minister. Then the text calls attention to the other office bearer, the other elder. That elder is the ruling elder. The first part of the verse. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. And here, beloved, before we begin to look at who that elder is, let us notice as an important aside that here we have an important proof text for the distinction between the teaching elder and the ruling elder. And that is an important distinction to maintain, beloved, to understand that there are some elders who are called especially to rule and other elders who are called especially to teach, because not all ruling elders are given the ability to teach. But simply because a ruling elder is not given the ability to teach as well as what the minister is able to teach, does not disqualify them from being able to serve in the office of ruling elder. It's the minister whose primary duty is to teach and explain God's word. It's the primary duty of the ruling elder to oversee the work of the church. So we can keep that in mind, beloved, as we consider which men are qualified for office in years to come, that when we are voting for a man for the ruling office, his primary qualification must be his ability to rule, not necessarily his ability to teach. And yet, recognizing that distinction between the two, we must be careful to maintain this also. It is not an absolute distinction. That is, the minister's office is not entirely separated from the elder's office, from the ruling elder's office. And this becomes especially evident during times of vacancy. When there is no minister to lead in worship, then the ruling elders do have the right to come behind this pulpit and to lead God's people in worship. In addition, it's not an absolute distinction because the minister participates in the work of ruling over the church. He is a part of the council, the ruling body over the church. So it's an important distinction, but not an absolute distinction. The ruling elder, then, is one who, similarly to the minister, has been called by God to office into the church to oversee the activities of that church. In one word, the duty of the elder is to rule. Even in our form for installation that we read this morning, the duty of the elder is to take the oversight of the church, which is committed to them. Elders, as they take the oversight of the church, have the oversight of the members' confession, their doctrine. That's why our elders require that anybody who wants to become a member in good standing in this church first come to the elders to make a confession of their faith to those elders. And as the elders receive that confession of what they believe and judge that their confession is consistent with God's word, then the elders in that way supervise over the doctrine of the members of this church. In addition, it is the duty of the elders as they rule over this church to take the oversight of the conversation or the lifestyle of the members of this church. The elders have the right and the duty to watch your life. If there is anything in your life that is inconsistent with the teachings of God's word, that it is the right and the duty of the elders to approach that child of God who is walking in a sinful way and to call them to repentance. The elders rule over doctrine and over lifestyle. Then the text qualifies this with the word well. But the elders that rule well, be counted worthy of double honor. Clearly implied in the fact that the text speaks of ruling well is the fact that not all elders do rule well. This is true even as we look at the pages of Scripture. There are biblical examples of office bearers who did not rule well. David, as he led the people in worship through the act of taking the Ark of God up to Jerusalem, up the holy hill, sinned in the way in which he led the people of God in worship. Remember what he did? Instead of carrying the Ark of the Lord on staves, on the shoulders of men as they walked up the hill, David instructed the people to put the Ark on a cart pulled by oxen. To have that ark be pulled up the hill by the oxen. And as David did this, the ark began to shake and was about ready to fall off that cart. So Uzzah reached out his arm to stop that ark of God from tumbling off the ark. And what happened? Uzzah was struck dead because David, as a God-appointed office bearer, had failed to lead the people of God in the right direction in worship. That shows one of the importance of the office bearers as they lead the people of God in worship. That if they do not lead the people of God in proper worship, the result will be death. Death for themselves and death for the members of the congregation. David failed in ruling over God's church. Peter, the apostle, failed in that he did not want to speak of Jesus Christ. Here he was standing right next to Jesus Christ as Jesus Christ was about to experience death on the cross. And what did Peter do? Three times over, Peter denied even knowing Jesus Christ as his Lord and as his Savior. Not all men rule well in office. Even in our own history as a congregation, beloved, we have the sad reminders of even a minister who failed to rule well in office. The word of God comes to us as office bearers in the Church of Jesus Christ and calls us to rule well, rule faithfully. Another note, beloved, that if we can get the leaders of the church to fall into sin, then the sheep of the flock will inevitably follow those leaders into sin. So the devil tempts leaders in a special way, a specially difficult way, to fall into sin. And we are tempted, are we not, beloved office bearers, to fall into sin in our work? We're tempted not to rule well. We might not think this initially. We might think, well, I don't wake up and think to myself, I'm going to abandon the office, I'm going to run away from the office. We are tempted, are we not? We're tempted to treat some people better than other people. We're tempted not to love everybody as God calls office bearers to love all the members of that flock. We're tempted to be respecters of persons. We're tempted to be afraid of some persons. And because of that fear of individuals, we will not approach that individual when they walk in sinful manners. Be faithful. Rule well. Be faithful, beloved, is to excel in the God-appointed work in the church. To be a faithful office bearer who rules well starts in the home. It's only as the elders and the deacons rule their own home well that then they can be qualified even to rule well in the church. If you struggle in your labors as elder or as deacon in the church, you're wondering, why am I struggling so much in this work? And pray to God to search your heart and to know your heart and to see if you are ruling your own home well. If not, repent of that sin of not ruling your own home well, and in that way, God will qualify you also to rule his church well. Ruling well in the church, love, it also means that you pray for wisdom. You recognize that this work is a difficult work, that the devil presents the truth, presents the lie as the truth, and that the lie can be very attractive at times. And we want to go in the direction of the lie. And to recognize the distinction between the truth and the lie at times is not very much, but beloved, God will give you his wisdom in order to judge well over the truth. In addition to rule over the church well, beloved office bearers, means to love the church. If you fail in every other regard, then do not fail in this regard. Love God's sheep. Care for them. Exert yourself for them. Sacrifice yourself for the members of the church. Read 1 Corinthians 13 over and over again. That if a minister has the ability to teach and to preach, or if an elder has the ability to rule, but he does not have love, then he is as tinkling glass. He's nothing. If he doesn't have love, he is not fit for the office of the church. Elders and deacons and ministers, love. Those then who are rulers in the church and who rule well, God says in this text that they are worthy of double honor. What is this double honor that the office bearers are worthy of? This is admittedly a somewhat difficult thing to explain. And if you read through commentaries, you will find up to half a dozen different explanations for what it means to rule, or for what it means to be worthy of double honor. Some are of the position that the double honor stands in comparison to, the distinction from, the honor that the widows receive. Verse 3. Honor widows that are widows indeed. And in distinction from the honor that widows get, the office bearers get double honor. Others are of the understanding that those who rule well are worthy of both honor and honorarium. That is, payment. That is, give them respect on the one hand, and the double part is not only give them respect, but also give them payment. In that regard, you're worthy of double honor, both your respect and your physical money that you give them. Others are of the understanding that this passage refers exclusively to payment. Those who rule well are worthy of double payment. And they appeal especially to the very next verse, verse 18, where the scripture says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his hire. And so in an appeal to that verse, they say the minister at least, and perhaps the elders, should be receiving double payment for their work. Below that, I believe, after having searched God's word with regard to what honor is, and looking at this person's context, that honor is the attitude of utmost respect that the members of the congregation are privileged to give to office bearers. Double honor is the attitude of utmost respect that members of the congregation are privileged to give to office bearers. It is an attitude of respect that we have for the man whom God has called into office. And that is how Scripture uses this word frequently. In Romans 2, verse 7, God says, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Glory, honor, immortality, eternal life. That's not referring to anything physical. That's not referring to monetary reimbursement. But that's referring to the attitude of respect that we might have, that we must have for an office bearer. Jesus Christ spoke of honor in John 4, verse 44. Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Their honor clearly is not referring to physical payment. But honor is referring to respect. That a prophet has no respect in his own country. He's not accepted by his own people. But recognizing, beloved, that the word honor does generally refer to a term to respect for office bearers, we must be careful not to exclude the idea of payment. The two are not mutually exclusive, that either we respect them or we pay them, but the one flows from the other. As we respect the office bearers, as we give them double honor, then a way in which we show them respect is by paying for their needs. And the word honor is translated in Scripture at times as referring to money, physical money. Acts 5, verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why does Satan fill thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep that part of the price of the land? The word that is translated in Acts 5, verse 3 as price of the land is the same word in the original language, the Greek, as the word that is translated as honor in this text. Why did you keep that part of the honor, the price of this land? So it is the duty then of the church to pay for the minister in order that he might be able to toil in the word. How can a minister expend himself for the cause and proclamation of the gospel if his financial needs are not being taken care of? As his financial needs are being taken care of and his physical needs, then he is able to give his life, toiling day and night, for the cause of the proclamation of Jesus Christ. But to respect, beloved, means primarily to put yourself under the authority of the office bearers. That's what this text is teaching when it says, give to the elders that rule well double honor. It's to recognize that they, as they are called to office by God, have a real authority over you. They have the right to watch over your life. They have the right to enter into your home and to ask you why you are not behaving in a godly way. That is a right that God gives them. And we, beloved, as we give double honor to the elders, respect That is a right of authority that God gives to the elders. He's also that to care for the elders, not just for the minister. We care for the elders as well. We give them words of encouragement. We thank them for the work that they have done for us. We love them. But we must, beloved, give this honor to the elders. It is a real temptation, is it not? Not to give this honor to the office bearers. At times we are tempted not to give honor to the office bearers simply because we are lazy. We are self-centered. We don't think about the church and the elders in the church and the rulers in the church. We become so absorbed in our own lifestyles and our own concerns and cares that we forget about giving respect and honor unto the office bearers in the church. At other times, we do not give this honor to the elders because, in sin, we do not respect the men who are chosen into office. Some of us might be bitter because we did not get into office and other men did get into office. Or, for others of us, the temptation might be to think that if only I had been in office, then I could have done a better job of handling the circumstance. We fail to respect the fact that God put these men in office. But ultimately, beloved, the reason why we are tempted not to respect the men in office is because in the office, Jesus Christ is represented. Jesus Christ is the office bearer as prophet, priest, and king. And Jesus Christ, as he comes to us in our sin and in our guilt, is offensive to us. We by nature hate Jesus Christ. We hate the truth. We hate it when Jesus Christ convicts us of our sins. But when God is pleased to work through the office bearers to convict us of our sins, our natural response is hatred. We do not want to give respect to the office bearers because they stand in the place of Jesus Christ, whom we naturally despise. One of the only ways which we will ever respect office bearers is if God first works in our hearts by his grace and by his spirit repentance over sin. You struggle with respecting the men whom God has put over you in the church. You think at times that you could do a better job of ruling over this church. Then search your own heart and repent of the sin in your heart of rejecting Jesus Christ. And as God by His Spirit gives you the humility to confess your sins, He will give you forgiveness of sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And as He cleanses us, beloved, we can give double honor to those who are among us. We, the members of this congregation, Paul, as he speaks to Timothy, is not speaking to the world, not speaking to others outside of the church. He is speaking to the church. You, Linden Protestant Reformed Church, give respect to the office bearers. And do it now. The verb in this text is present tense. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy right now of double honor. To quote a commentator on this text, he said, "Wreaths are not to be laid on office bearers' graves after they are dead, but flowers are to be given to them now in order to cheer them in their work." Unquote. Don't venerate the dead office bearers. Be thankful for them. But speak to the living. Go to the office bearers right now who rule over you and thank them for their work on your behalf. Praise be God that He gives us faithful office bearers. Now thank Him for it. But why? Verse 18 tells us the reason for giving double honor to the office bearers. For the scripture says, "Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward." There are two texts here that are quoted by the Apostle Paul as he speaks to Timothy. The first is a quotation of Deuteronomy 25, verse 4, as he says, "Do not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn." What this is a reference to, beloved, is the threshing floor, which would be a circular, elevated piece of land, flat, and on that elevated piece of land, oxen would walk around in circles, treading the sheaves that had been laid out on that flat piece of land. And as the oxen walked around on that threshing floor, their hooves would beat out the fruit, the grain, from the sheaves. And as there was a wind blowing through, the wind would blow away the sheaves, and what would be left on that circular threshing floor would be the grain. God's command to Old Testament Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 25 was, do not muzzle that ox as he walks around threshing out the grain. Let him eat of that grain. And the pagans then were the ones who would muzzle that ox in cruelty, not letting that ox partake of some of the fruit of his labors. The second text that the Apostle Paul calls attention to is a direct quotation of the words of our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Luke 10, verse 7, "For the laborer is worthy of his hire." To take it together, beloved, these two quotations from Scripture call attention to the fact that every worker has the right to partake of the fruits of his labors. Every worker has this right. Whether the worker be an oxen, or whether the worker be a blue-collar laborer, or whether the worker be a white-collar businessman or a minister of the gospel, every laborer has a right to partake of the fruits of their labors. Even the elders, as they rule over this church, have the right to partake of the fruit. We do not have practice in the Protestant Reformed churches of paying our elders, but beloved, let us recognize that it would not be unbiblical to give our elders a measure of reimbursement for their labors as they expend themselves for the church, as they go out on visits, perhaps especially during vacancies in a congregation, when elders shoulder a larger part of the responsibilities of the church, they are worthy of their labors. Hail, beloved, double honor, utmost respect. Office bearers. And do this, beloved, because in the way of receiving honor, men are qualified to carry out their work. Why give honor? Because it is the God-appointed means by which men are strengthened to carry out their work. Why not muzzle the ox as he walks around? Because if that ox cannot eat, then that ox will not be able to do the work of threshing the grain. Why not take care of the minister? Why not take care of the elders and give them words of encouragement, beloved? Because if you do not give to those men who rule well the double honor, then they will not have the strength to carry out the work that God has called them to. God is a God who is pleased to use means. And one of the means whereby God strengthens office bearers for the work that God has called them to do is the respect that they receive from the members of the congregation. Give it to them. I can testify by my own experience that you have given it to me. I am thankful to God for that. So I bring this text to you this morning, not as a warning, but as an encouragement. Continue, beloved congregation, to to give to the elders who rule well the respect that they deserve for the work that God has called them to. In all of this, beloved, let us remember that even when we as weak and sinful office bearers fail, God builds up his church. Unless the Lord the house shall build, the weary builders toil in vain. Unless the Lord the city shield, the guards, the useless watch maintain. Amen. Let us pray to God. Father, which art in heaven, we thank and praise thee that thou wilt build up thy church through thy Son, Jesus Christ, and that even the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We give thee thanks again, Father, for faithful office bearers whom thou hast given to this congregation. We thank thee for the men who have retired. We thank thee for the men whom thou hast installed into office in this day. Strengthen us, Father, for this difficult yet blessed work that thou hast called us to. Strengthen us for Jesus' sake. Amen.